Welcome back, Matej. Long time no see, no hear, no nothing. What's going on in your life?
That's right. What's going on? Too much, actually. As we, I think, mentioned in the previous episode that we're going to have a short break because my partner was due to deliver our second child, which has happened in the meantime. And yeah, everything changed. Everything. Totally new human being on this earth and getting to know each other. We had a rough start, a rocky start, because the little one got sick right after the delivery, basically. So we had to spend an extra week in the hospital. But nevertheless, I mean, he's back home now. He's doing well. We are doing well. I mean, you know it yourself, man. Fatherhood or being a parent is especially in the beginnings, is always exciting and very stressful because you don't know actually what to do. You just do it. And you hope that you're going to be right. But man, super stoked. But I'm also super stoked to finally do a podcast again with you, because I've even my firstborn was asking, yeah, when you do a podcast and what are you doing? And I was like, yeah, today is the day. Today we're gonna record another session, and here we are talking about, I don't know, this is gonna be a very freestyle-ish episode, I would say. I mean, lots of things have been happening. What's up with you, actually?
We are very busy because, a lot of school sports started up again. Almost all of the weekends are full with one or the other activity. And also work is very busy for me at the moment. So I actually have been looking forward to this for a while now. I'm really happy that we can make it. I have been watching quite a few games in EuroLeague, but we also had that gap in between where they were all preparing with interesting rosters for the Euros or other international competitions. And yeah, we did not have a few games for 1 or 2 weeks at least, and now it's back up again and it's entering the hot phase. But not only that, there's a few other hot topics that we can continue on our last episode from, like a Ricky Rubio resurgence playing now for Barca and also for the national team, something that I guess we would have not predicted to be that fast in the coming. Yeah, maybe let's start there. What's your thought on this? Did you watch that first game when he was back?
I sure did. I watched both games now that he's back. Gotta be honest, I think him coming back in a pivotal game versus Monaco with Mike James, and we can talk about Mike James later, being now the all-time leading scorer in EuroLeague basketball. And you know, it's kind of late in the season to have an addition like this to your roster, because usually if you're well prepared, you have your lineups by the mid of the season, and you know when you're gonna sub in, sub out, and you could feel it right away in the game against Monaco when once he inserted Rubio, it was like a total shift. Like, the team wasn't really prepared. It started off hot. They had a great first quarter, Barcelona, and after that it just went down the shitter. I mean, they played so poorly. They couldn't make no open shots. And I think it was due to the excitement of everyone having Ricky Rubio back. So that plays one part. But on the other side, I feel like they just totally unusual circumstances, and I think he will be a nice addition to them, to the roster, because I hope that, I believe that he will take over some point guard duties from Satoransky, whom I like to see on the court, but not running the point guard. Yeah, and he opens up the shooting guard spot for Nicolas Laprovittola, who, you know, does what it does best, is making big time buckets. And yeah, I think the second game was a little bit better. Although, and he, you can sense it, he takes more of command. In the first game was kind of a feel it out phase, and in the second game he was, at least in my opinion, the things that the scenes I've watched, is he was more vocal, he was more active. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, and he still needs to get his feet wet playing basketball. But overall, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this team is going to be playing together once the playoffs starts. Yeah. I mean, I like it. How do you see it?
Obviously, it's a big disruptor, because he's what we would call in German a Koryphäe, no? I mean, someone who is almost larger than the players or the team currently on the floor. He has done so much for not only Barcelona, but Spanish basketball and the league. And yeah, it's probably, I think, on one side very inspiring to play with him, but on the other side also daunting or interesting how you can get into a rhythm, because as you dissected this also in the previous podcast, like how is this dynamic with Laprovittola and Satoransky especially and other guards, like how is this really humming? And now you have someone like him coming in, and obviously being an alpha, being a point guard, having accomplished so many things, he will want the ball. And I haven't heard much about him getting a reduced role. Maybe that's just an expectation in the beginning, but as longer the season will go on, I don't see him slotting in yet into this kind of role that Rodriguez and Sergio Llull are playing in Real Madrid, and he's super comfortable just playing and making that one defining play of that game. You know what I mean? These guys, they don't care. I mean, some games they just score zero and then they come out when it's needed and all of that. But yeah, I think it is very interesting to watch, and it's good for Barcelona basketball. If you reflect on how they started the season with the coaching change and everything, I think they put together a really, really nice product this season. Still standing strong in the second spot. And yeah, I think anything can happen. If you want to dive into that, if you look at the standing, I think anything can go. What's your view on that?
Coming back to the rest of Barcelona, I think the biggest change is going to be with Dario Brizuela and Rokas Jokubaitis, because those are the two players that probably will have to give up some minutes in order for Ricky Rubio to be able to play. I don't see it much with Alex Abrines, Laprovittola, or Tomas Satoransky giving up too many minutes, because they are too versatile, I would say, so they have more positions to fill. So it's going to be interesting to see how those players react to reduced playing time. So it's up to coach Roger Grimaud to really balance it out. And yes, I'm totally with you. That roster looks nicer than it did at the beginning of the season. They're still at the number two spot. They had a quality win against Valencia just a couple of days ago. I mean, yeah, if you look at the top seven, actually, I mean, now Bologna is out of the top six, which would make them play in the play-in. Looking back 10 rounds ago was ridiculous to think of. It's going to be interesting. But, you know, you have Panathinaikos creeping up, Monaco staying strong. Olympiakos is making that run that most people predicted. And Fenerbahce, I mean, talking about them, they had a very, very convincing win against Real in Madrid. So Saras is working his magic in the Bosporus. Wow.
But it is, I think we both said it, well, at least I think I said it, the Spanish clubs on top, and then tightly followed by the Greek ones. And I'm not so surprised that Panathinaikos and Olympiakos are right up there. I think I would have not given Monaco such a high positioning as of now, but you can't underestimate now the all-time scoring leader in EuroLeague history, Mr. Mike James. Incredible, incredible what they're putting on display every week. So they are still in strong number four here, but it is very, very tightly contested. Everyone seems to be one or up to two or three wins apart. And yeah, what's your pick to still make it? So actually, you got Real, Barcelona, Panathinaikos, Monaco, Olympiakos, Fenerbahce, and then those are the top six. And then basically scrambling for, as of now, those two other spots playing in is Virtus, Baskonia, Maccabi, and Valencia.
Are we talking about the top six, or are we talking about the playoffs overall?
We're going to talk about a 7-10.
I mean, that was a really gutty loss by Partizan yesterday against Milano. I mean, that was
completely unnecessary.
Definitely. This could be the neck breaker for Partizan. Yeah, I mean, I feel like they had control. They let them get back into the game. Or at least, I mean, at least in the third quarter, it was a nice back and forth, you know, each team making baskets and the leads switching like by the minute. So that was nice to see from a basketball perspective. But yeah, I'm totally with you. I think it was not really a necessary loss, or they should have won the game. Let's put it this way. I mean, yeah. I mean, what's the upcoming games? They play Baskonia the next round. We have a double round again. They play Baskonia and Madrid at home. So they have three home games now against Baskonia, Real, and Olympiakos. Wow. And then they play in Berlin, and then they play Valencia. So, I mean, let's say they split the first four games. Let's say they beat Baskonia at home and they beat Alba, and they're going to lose against Olympiakos and against Real. So this could end up being a squeeze-out game against Valencia in the very last round. In Belgrade, by the way. Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, Milano, you have the second group that's, I mean, they're out of the picture, but they're not totally gone with Milano, Efes, Bayern. Yeah, I would say Žalgiris is now out of the mix, I would say. But anything below Žalgiris, so you have Žalgiris, Zvezda, as well, and Alba are long gone.
Current standing, and yeah, okay, maybe Partizan will still take over the spot from Valencia or Maccabi. Now, Maccabi is going to be very difficult. I think it's just maybe Valencia is the last one. Let's see. But out of the higher group on top, I think it's too tight to call. Everyone can basically beat each other down. It's incredible. I think there is a lot of potential here. And I think not necessarily the team that started off very, very hot is going to go away with the crown at the end. Towards, at least from my perspective, I see Panathinaikos and Olympiakos and especially Fenerbahce a lot coming for them or being in their favor, having either made the right moves from a coaching position and or also the right signings like Nunn, who has been an instrumental part for Panathinaikos. What's your take on that?
I mean, it's going to be very interesting the next two rounds. I was just looking up the Barcelona games now. So Barcelona is playing now three games in a row away. First, they play in Istanbul against Fener. Then they play in Athens against Panathinaikos. And then they head over to Munich. Whoa. So especially a game against Fener and against Panathinaikos. Those, I mean, looking at the standings, this can be the difference between being in the second spot or solidifying the second spot, or all of a sudden having to fear to fall out of the top six. I mean, very, very crucial games for Barcelona. I feel like, I mean, I said it, I think I said in the last or second to last episode, I don't think Real is going to end up winning it all. I mean, they showed some weaknesses as of currently. I feel like they are not as composed as they used to be. I mean, you could see it with, remember when we watched the Zvezda game against Fener, when you saw Nick Calathes going at Campazzo all the time and pushing him around and really being tough on him. And this kind of spilled over now in the last game with Fener leading, winning the game. And they had a kind of a shoving match and kind of a spat out. So, I mean, at least it seems those two guys, they don't like each other at all. Which would make actually a great, great, great quarterfinal series. But I think it's not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. But it still could happen. I mean, if Fener moves out and, yeah, I think, I mean, Fener winning both games against Real, so maybe they tank a little bit in order to secure the eighth spot. Which is not going to happen, by the way. It was just a joke.
Yeah. Especially with that coach, no one is going to tank. And I think it doesn't actually exist in the vocabulary of European coaches. maybe just the ones that are trying to develop talent at the bottom. But yeah, even now, Azvel did try to win some games. I mean, if you saw the last 10, four wins and six losses, it's not that bad that what Azvel is putting together, considering that they almost have won nothing. Yeah. All right. After the break, let's jump to a different topic. What else was on your mind while you were going through parenthood?
I think we have to talk about Mac James breaking the all-time scoring record in EuroLeague. I mean, what an incredible feat. I mean, we all know it. It has been all over the socials. I think, did they stop the game for him? I think they stopped the game midway in order to congratulate him, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's what they did.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, this is something that I do understand it. It's the same thing they did with LeBron James just recently, which, I mean, come on. We talk about Mike James scoring like 4,000-something points in EuroLeague basketball, which is incredible feat, by the way. But just a week before, you have a LeBron James scoring 40,000 points in NBA basketball. I mean, it's mind-boggling, and I don't want to make this an NBA topic. But yeah, Mike James being now the all-time scorer, does this make him the MVP? Not that he delivered the record, but is he the MVP of this year's this season's EuroLeague, would you say?
I think so. I think both in in scoring, he's number one, definitely. So point average, I mean, but also performance index rating, he's also the highest. Tightly contested, basically on the same number as Shane Larkin, but so that's 21.3. But I think with this incredible season and what that means for EuroLeague basketball, I think he's definitely the hottest contender. The other one, I don't know if Shane Larkin, do you want to give someone the MVP who potentially is not going to even go into the EuroLeague top 8, top 4 finals?
No. I mean, I just looked up Mike James' stats again. I mean, he's shooting 50% from 2-point range, 40% from 3-point range, which is an incredible feat considering the difficulty of shots he takes. I mean, the step back in your face, threes against two defenders, fading away. I mean, I don't know, 25 foot away from the basket, and he still makes those. I mean, also averaging 4.4 rebounds per game, which for a guard his size is also very, very good, and averaging over 5 assists per game, 5.2 to be exact. And Monaco being this tough-minded group now being at the 4 spot and competing even for the 2nd spot, I mean, or they still lurk around. I mean, there's no other way to put it around, right? I mean, he's just amazing. I gotta be honest, before the season, I wasn't as convinced that this would work out, especially with this Kemba Walker signing, but I mean, kudos to him. Incredible performance, incredible season, just incredible professionalism.
Yeah, definitely a role model, has created a blueprint or something like a work ethic. Yeah, I was looking for the right word, a work ethic that is unseen, unheard of. As you said, his size, his tenacity, his strong nosed. At the beginning of the season, we were not even sure how this experiment is going to work out with Walker coming in and what that means for his role. Well, that definitely has been put aside and he solidified himself into the history books. Yeah, fantastic.
I mean, just two statements. I mean, Nikola Jokic, NBA superstar with the Denver Nuggets, regarding to Mike James, he's a ruthless scorer. No way. But I think the biggest compliment comes from his head coach, Saša Obradović, who said, like, Mike James is like Dražen Petrović, a workaholic. Wow. I mean, talking about high praise. I mean, the best basketball player in the world calling you a great scorer, and then you get compared to probably the greatest European scorer, which in my mind is still Dražen Petrović in Europe, by the way. It's not like overall European score, but in Europe, I mean, wow. Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, but he's not European. He's an American.
Yeah, but he still had most of his career played in Europe. That's why. I mean.
Greatest European scorer.
Yeah, being compared to the greatest European scorer. Yeah, you're right. I mean, maybe we got it mixed up. Don't get on my nerves. It's our first episode back, man. It's totally fine. We can have some fuck-ups in between. It's okay. Our listeners will understand.
Who is the next coach to go? We had a few this season. Anything happening before the end of the season? Is anyone going to get fired before the whole thing concludes?
I mean, if a coach gets fired, it must be a team that still thinks it can contend for a playoff berth, right? Because, like, why would Alba Berlin or why would Aswell change coaches again? Or why would Zvezda do it again? It just to add another name to the payroll. So it doesn't make sense. And Žalgiris, they just added Andrea Trinchieri, right? So if...
So then we have basically just the creme de la creme. We are just talking about Messina, Lasso, and Obradović. And I think they are all three unfireable.
I wouldn't go as far as with Messina and all the turmoil that has been going on. Out of this group of great coaches, coaching legends, I think Messina probably is the coach that would probably be the most to let go out of those three coaches. I mean, but he has. I mean, it's never inconceivable, but it's highly, highly, highly unlikely that either one of those three is gonna go. No, I feel like Valencia, why would they do it? They have beginning of the season, we didn't have them for a playoff spot, and they've been hanging around. Alex Mumbro has been doing an incredible job on the coaching line. I mean, Dusko Ivanović with Bastonia has him up in the mix again. But talking about Baskonia, like if they wouldn't have had such a bad start, you talk about a team that's probably in the mix for the number 4, 5, 6 spot as well. Bologna, Maccabi, with all the circumstances with them. I mean, now I don't see anyone getting fired right now. It's too late in the season. And I mean, never say never, but I don't think so.
Look, for me, and this is maybe a very provocative question, but it's still mind-boggling what happened. What are all of these coaching firings from even before the season started to throughout the season did actually mean? like some of the club owners were hallucinating in terms of what they really were to expect. I think it's always a bit, you can't have a new coach taking over the reins and then throughout the first couple of games or 20 games already fire him based on performance. It takes a while, yeah, and I'm never in favor of that. But regardless, yeah, I agree with you. Messina, out of those three, probably the one on the hot seat, but also here can't see it because Italian coach in a Italian franchise and as well a traditional club, I find it rather difficult. But yeah, we have seen a lot of very interesting things, and I guess you just need to piss off the one or the other wrong person, and then you are there.
Talking about pissing off the wrong person, let's make a hard cut. And after the break, we're going to talk about Formula One.
All right, my friend, then educate me. Who do I have to piss off if I want to watch Formula One? The one interesting thing is, and I almost never watch Formula One anymore. This is something that I especially watched a lot in my youth. Red Bull expanding and having a second team is very interesting, because obviously we as Austrians, we have been following that. We have been watching this over now 20 years, and it took a while to actually put together a world winning or the best product possible out there. They were not as competitive. Now they have the best driver, they have the best car. That's at least my couple of cents that I have.
They have been, last month, there have been news for all the wrong reasons. I mean, we're talking about this dicey situation, I would call it, with their principal, Christian Horner, who apparently has not sent some very private messages to his personal assistant. And it comes out that this team is actually in the middle of a very high intense power struggle. So you have, after Dietrich Mateschitz died, and you had the share owners of Red Bull being 50.1%, 2% of the Thailand tycoons who own basically Red Bull, and 49.9% being on the Mateschitz side and the Austrian side. And apparently the Austrian Red Bull side wanted to fire Christian Horner for what seems to be a very intrusive story with his assistant, but the Thailand side has got his back. And now the latest news came out that Red Bull is planning to suspend Helmut Marko, the highly influential motorsport consultant for Red Bull, who's also very well with the current Formula One superstar Max Verstappen and his father, because apparently Helmut Marko was the one who leaked the messages and pictures that Christian Horner apparently sent to his assistant. So this couldn't get any more juicier and dicier, and this story is just coming, breaking with some new stuff by the day, and I can't wait. Kid you not, I can't wait for the Drive to Survive series next year on Netflix. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be incredible. But it's a dicey topic. It's a very dicey topic. So you have the best, one of the biggest brands in the world, the most or the dominant Formula One team of the last 3-4 years, and there was no reason for them this year not winning at all. Again, you have this real magnificent to watch power struggle at the top, and it comes down to egos and who knows whom and who pisses off whom. Watch out for that. I think there's going to be some news to follow. It's not going to be pretty. And the latest, I forgot to mention, apparently Christian Horner tried to buy out Red Bull, the Austrian side, from owning Red Bull. So with a English investor group. There comes another, don't piss off. I mean, it's incredible, man. It's great to read through the storylines.
I guess especially if you have the strongest team, that's going to be even more interesting for people to listen to. You're not going to hear too much about the smaller little racing teams having much drama at the moment. Yeah? Okay, interesting.
Have you followed Austrian football, by the way? I mean, there has been, you know, Vienna has two bigger-esque football clubs, Rapid Vienna and Austria Vienna. Rapid has won their very first game in what has seems like 10 years against their arch rival. And they whooped their asses, which kudos to them. What you gonna do when you beat your arch rival after a very, very drought? Of course, you're gonna call them out, talk very, very badly about them and the district that they are residing at, and add some homophobic and slurs to it, and you're gonna get punished for it. Basically, you lose one of your main sponsors, and apparently, when I heard the news and saw the videos, I was like, this can't be happening. You can't be this stupid. But they did it. I mean, and I may or may not know one or the other person being involved in this thing, and it's just like, what's happening? Why? Why?
Yeah, I read an article that Stefan Hoffmann, being the CEO now, I mean, I still probably remember when I was sitting, I barely watched any Rapid Vienna games, but one or two occasions I was in the stadium and did watch him play. Now he's up at the club ranks. Him and the co-trainer, as well as three players, either got all punished through money or a couple of games. Incredible. Okay, I gotta actually watch now what they did say.
Can't say it on this podcast, but there was some very foul, bad language involved. I mean, words that are being said sometimes on the sports pitch, on the field. And they talked about, and you know what to me was the most incredible feat? Afterwards, of course, they apologized, but two players sent out the exact same apology, like the same wording, and talking about with sincere apology. Stupid idiot. At least reframe it. Just change some sentences, whatever. You can't put out the same statement and make it a personal statement. It's so idiotic. I mean, their communications department, I mean, they must be out of their mind. I mean, I can't fathom it, man. I'm in this football WhatsApp group, and I haven't played football in quite a while, but I'm going to start soon. Yeah, I'm back. And it has been incredible to to read through the messages, because obviously you have the both sides, and you have the Rapid Vienna side, and you have the Austria Vienna side. Gangling each other. Highly, highly entertaining. Highly entertaining.
So all of them apparently had to now, or do still have to participate in a workshop against discrimination across Europe. This article actually says they don't even know what a comparable case is. The only one might have been when Paris Saint-Germain won against Marseille, and then some of the players started to sing homophobic songs with the fans, and then they got one game suspended for.
I think the punishment by the league, you can debate it if it is justified, but I think the real punishment is their reputation. I mean, which has been not in high regards as of late, anyways, and all of a sudden you add this to the mix. I mean, there were talks of the main sponsor, which is closely tied to the city of Vienna, is also maybe jumping ship and moving out of the sponsorship contract. So this is actually a big deal for Austrian football.
You know, while we are laughing because it's so stupid, it has incredible ramification for the sport. I mean, the sport is pretty much dependent on sponsorships, and if everyone is running away because you gotta be professional, it's a shit show. It's an absolute shit show. Can't do it.
I mean, it's one thing to speak your mind, and like the players in the 90s used to do, and you talk about the his true character, and he's not this washed out superstar, whatever. Yeah, that's I'm totally with you. But there's things you can say like, oh, fuck it. My coach didn't want me to play. I hate him right now. That's totally fine. But what you can't say in the 21st century, 2024, is like, you know, using the homophobic slurs and language, denouncing your opponent like this. It's just stupid. I mean, let's wrap it up right there, I would say. But there's actually, we have some news. You have some news, because you and I, we're going to see each other very soonish, exactly 2 weeks from now, right?
2 weeks from now.
Yes.
So that Saturday, I think we're going to enjoy a beer together. It's going to happen. I actually reserved the place as well just today. I can't wait for it, because it's going to be a great break that I have been looking forward to. And I haven't been home for a while, so that's a year in the making. Watch out. And maybe we can squeeze one in person. Watch this.
What's the one thing that you're most excited about, besides seeing your family and friends?
I think eating the food. That's going to be next. So I'm waiting for Topfenstrudel. I'm waiting for a proper Wiener Schnitzel. And I'm also waiting for the one or the other proper beer from the tab in Vienna. And maybe an Obstler. All right, my friend. Talk soon.
Thanks for listeners, for tuning in. You can find us on Twitter, X, Facebook, Instagram, under the handle at @UphillDownUnder. And don't forget to write us an email at hello@uphilldownunder.com. And till the next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.